since that surge in mid-2020 when silver and the miners beat gold handily during that big boom, you know. But in the years since, they've retreated on a relative basis. Silver's more or less gone sideways, actually. It has not lost ground to gold, but it hasn't outperformed. And the miners have actually lost performance. Those charts tell us that we're in the upturn phase now, out of that period where those categories of the monetary metals underperform gold. They're now about to shift to outperform. So it's a technical assessment. And I think that will be coincident with an acceleration in price of the entire complex.
Michael Oliver, good afternoon or good morning to you. How are you, my good friend?
Hi, Andy. Feeling good.
Fantastic. So let's get into it. I really want to, you made really, really three exceptional calls in what I do. And I really want to start out with when I started having you on this, well, I would say 6 months ago, and I had you on before then, you made a call because I was concerned about if we have a stock market sell-off, that the gold stocks would sell off and gold would potentially sell off. That didn't happen what I thought would. And you said to me, the money is about money flow, correct me if I'm wrong, and it would leave the S&P if that starts to break and it'd flow into gold and gold stocks. And boy, did that happen. That really, really happened in the last probably 2 months here. Can you comment about that? Let's start with the sell-off, the S&P, and then how that affected gold and gold stocks.
By our momentum trend metrics, price, meanwhile, on the S&P and NASDAQ, you could say, well, it's having a drop, you know, no big deal. You know, it's a correction, buying opportunity. But by our quarterly momentum trend metrics, which is a long-term metric, and it doesn't say, oh, you're going to go down for 2 weeks. It says you're likely to go down for, you know, a year or so, maybe more. We broke structure. We broke it in January, but NASDAQ stubbornly wouldn't, NASDAQ 100. It broke it about a month ago, above current levels. And I think what's going to lead to is a layered slab-by-slab decline, not necessarily a crash event, which means 30-35% in 2 weeks, okay? But more like, you know, 10-15%, then, oh boy, it's a buying opportunity, then congestion, then another 10-15, et cetera. But during that process, money goes elsewhere. If you go back through history, and study 29 through 32, or study the mid-70s to the 74 collapse in the stock market and the wasteland that followed, the 2000 dot-com top, the 2007 top, and look what gold did during that time. Up, okay? So did T-bonds, by the way. There's potential for T-bonds to try to tag along with gold here briefly. It's just not a place to be long-term, for sure. But the issue is not whether the gold and the gold stocks and silver are going to advance. The issue is now with that breakage in the stock market and the flow of money elsewhere to safe places, that gold and silver and the miners are going to go up more aggressively. Which what we've seen since March of last year is a layered, confusing advance where many people three or four times got scared out of the market. The gold and silver market, and it didn't mean anything. And again, you know, recently they sold the $35 level of silver. Now we get back to 35 again a month ago. Now we're back to above 35. Okay. So they keep selling these levels and it stops it for a while. Same with gold. I think we're about to enter acceleration. And I think the acceleration is going to be most notable in silver and in the gold and silver miners. With Mama Gold sort of leading the way, but not performance-wise anymore, percent-wise. Trend, yes, but the swing to the upside in silver and the gold miners now will be slingshot-like, where they get out in front of gold in performance terms. And it's the better place to be, I think, this year, period.
So, yeah, I think you're right, too. As far as leverage is concerned, you really want to be in the miners. A question, though, is... I guess this is just playing out. How long is this going to play out? Do you see? I don't want to say how long, but it's starting to play out now. This is the beginning of that, I guess, is what you're saying. And then, this is a new thing. But tell me, comment on that.
It's a different reality than we've had in the prior two gold bull markets over the last 50 years, both of which were 8 fold advances, bear low to bull high.
Right.
We do an eightfold advance goal, it's going to be $8,000-$9,000. Okay, because we started from 1,050. And that merely replicates the dimension of the prior two big bull markets in the last 50 years. But if you look at the action in the last year, or even the last several quarters of each of those bull surges, the one that peaked in 1980, $850 gold, silver is 50 bucks. Or look at the one in 2011. Much of the percent gain occurred in the final year, or actually in the final several quarters. And it's at that point silver went berserk in relation to gold. We've got reasons to believe, and this is not gut level or, you know, just looking back at the past. There's technical reasons when we assess the performance trend of miners versus gold and the performance trend of silver versus gold and plot it technically as a spread, and then run momentum studies of it. It says to us that the pullback we saw in performance since that surge in mid-2020, when silver and the miners beat gold handily during that big boom, you know. But in the years since, they've retreated on a relative basis. Silver's more or less gone sideways, actually. It has not lost ground to gold, but it hasn't outperformed. And the miners have actually lost performance. Those charts tell us that we're in the upturn phase now, out of that period where those categories of the monetary metals underperform gold. They're now about to shift to outperform. So it's a technical assessment. And I think that will be coincident with an acceleration in price of the entire complex.
Got it. So I want to go back to the miners, but real quick with silver here, you gave me a projection on gold. Correct me if I'm wrong. You said we're looking at about $8,000-$9,000 on the upside.
That's not a target. It's not a target. It's just simply stating prior to realities. And you, as an investor, can decide whether he thinks the reality today is similar to those or is it far more dramatic. And I think it's going to be more dramatic in not just here in the U.S., but globally in terms of especially government debt crisis. Right now, we're watching commercial real estate for a debt crisis, not mortgages, but commercial real estate, and hence, therefore, the financial sector. I know everybody's looking at NVIDIA, like that's the be-all and end-all. And no, it's not. Look elsewhere. But when that stuff hits the fan, the panic mode and the emotion involved in markets will shift dramatically. And I think it's already beginning to where you'll see miners do things on the upside that are just jaw-dropping in terms of gain and speed of gain.
That's music to my ears, but I want to go back to the miners in just a bit. But what's the same kind of historical data that you see with silver on the upside?
Silver has twice been to 50, and of course, gold's above those comparable levels, the 1980 peak, the 2011 peak. So what's wrong with silver? Okay. I think this move, this advance is going to blow $50 out. It's really an idiot price level because it's two different times of the last 50 years. Conditions were totally different, fundamentally, and so forth, and technically even. And I think that the $50 level is sort of a level for idiots to say, oh my gosh, I better wake up, you know. Well, you should have woken up a couple of years ago. But anyway, I don't think 50 is resistance. I don't think it's a target. I think you blow it right out. And maybe you take a breather somewhere $10 above there or something. But ultimately, the silver-gold ratio that we measured by dividing an ounce of silver into an ounce of gold, expressing it as a percent, right now it's at 1.15%. Divide silver ounce into gold ounce using the front-month active contracts. In 21 of the past 50 years, meaning not even during bull trend times, silver's been 2% of the price of gold. Well, right now it's 1.15%. Almost a double just to get to a normal level that it's seen 21 of the past 50 years. So it's not even saying, oh, you got to go through the roof. And in the bull trend periods, like 79 to 80 and 2010 to 11, when silver accelerated, it got up to 6.5% of the price of gold in the 1980 period and got up to over 3% of the price of gold in that 2011 period. So if we go from 1.1 to 3, for example, still below the 2011 high of the spread relationship and way below the 1980 high, that means silver could triple from its current relative value to gold. Okay, well, let's be silly here. Gold goes to 8,000. You do the math. What's 3% of 8,000? Okay. Yeah. Okay.
240?
Yeah. You got it. And I mean, so, you know, we're $35. Okay. So don't laugh. Because,
I'm not laughing.
You know, no, and so I'm just saying that the no, even if it went just to 2% of the price.
I'm happy, Michael. I'm happy.
But it's not going to give you a stop and go. I don't think you get this, we're going to pause for 6 months, or, oh, we're going to correct for 15%. I think there's a point here, and I think we're at it, where if you're not on board, you could miss it.
Yeah. Okay, so that leads me to another question. And by the way, I'm not laughing at you because I think you're funny. I'm laughing at you because
I understand. Right.
But, whoa. But, and then for all my viewers and listeners out there, Michael's been right a lot. I'm a client of Michael's, and I have nothing but good things to say about Michael. But let's go back to trading in and out, or just catching it, or we might get left at the station. So I've been up a lot since January in my gold and silver stock positions. I did sell a quarter of it, my whole, and I was up to my eyeballs. Sold a quarter of it. I'm just waiting for a pullback. But would you recommend something? Well, recommend's a strong word, but is that something you would do, or do you just stay fully invested?
I think you've had the pullback. And I think at this point, this is my own personal positions. Okay. They're in our reports at the end. There's a disclaimer that states, you know, what we own. Okay. My emphasis is the gold and silver miners, either via GDX, the basket.
Yeah.
Double GTX and silver miners, specific ones. And a handful of them, and I'm going to expand it. So at this point, at this juncture where I think we're about to accelerate, my emphasis is not to be fully invested, because I am, but to shift the investment around and lessen my straight bullion position in gold and move it over more to a silver bullion or a double silver bullion position and or into the silver miners, because I think the geometry there could be jaw-dropping in the miners.
Or torque, yeah.
Because historically, they are so beat up, historically, compared to the price of gold. Like XAU index is an example. It's been around since the 1980s.
Mm-hmm.
It used to trade as a relative percent of the price of gold in a range, where you divide XAU price into gold price, in a range from the 1980s, 1990s through 2008, okay, so 20, 30 years, in a range that had low end 17.5% and an upper end at 35%. So let's call the middle, let's say 25%. So XAU would do this over a 30-year period, but generally around 25% of the price of gold. It collapsed to 4% of the price of gold during the 2015 bear low, when it bottomed coincident with gold in net price. Right now, it's about 5.5%, a little higher probably. It's been in a 10-year wide range on the spread, not up there in the 17 to 30% level, but in the 4% low, basically 5 to 8% doing this for 10 years, meaning holding its value versus gold, but at extremely low relative levels, historically speaking. If you look at that chart, and we've sent it out in our reports, and look at the bottom end of that 30-year period, where it was 17.5% to 35%, and draw a line through all those lows that prevailed for several decades, that means you break this spread out, technically speaking, you could run up and bump your head on the bottom side of that multi-decade range, which is technical resistance, right? Okay, boom, the bottom of the old, what had been a floor. And you could stop there if you want. That's a tripling plus of the current value of the miners relative to gold. And we're seeing emergent breakout now, this month, on the
this month.
That suggests we're coming out of this base of this performance base, which is, again, very subdued. The top end is only 8%. And you know, 17.5 used to be the bottom end. So decades ago. So we could get an extreme explosion out of the gold and silver miners. And the reason being, coincident with the breakage in the stock market, a lot of investors don't want to go out and buy silver bullion or futures or things like that, or buy leverage call positions. They just want to buy miners. You know, some of these miners, after all, have pretty good dividends, you know, okay? Some of the biggies. And so they'll move the stock category, most of the stock categories, which will go south, and move into the categories which are going south, the one of which will stand out is the gold and silver miners. And it's, I've used the wet bar of soap analogy. You know, everybody's grabbing for the wet bar of soap and it shoots up because it's a tiny, tiny little sector, dollar-wise. And yeah. Even a small amount of money moves over, it could be a panic explosion.
Yeah. So my next question is, you're mentioning miners. For all of our listeners, I want to ask this question, and viewers, I want to ask this question, is would you shift, or how do they structure this with the bigger guys, or what exactly are you doing without getting too specific, or in the smaller guys, where you're going to have a whole lot of
torque? It's a mixed picture. We run reports every month where we sift through most of the miners that are in the GDX ETF, for example, which is gold and silver miners. Mm-hmm. A lot of them that are in the XAU, which is also gold and silver miners. And we run relative performance charts to try to pick out the gold or silver miners that are outperforming GDX. Now, because any stock sector that you look at, I don't care what it is, there's always going to be underperforming components of that sector and outperforming and par performers. And they rotate. You know, one might outperform for 2 years during a 5-year bull trend and shift to another guy takes over. So some of the big name guys, Newmont and Barrick, for example, have been underperforming. Now, I'm going to suspect, now right now we don't have the signals, that they will shift to outperform when big money starts to move. Because big money, big asset managers aren't going to go buy junior miners. The miners might buy the junior miners. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. But they'll buy the Newmonts and the Barricks of the world. And frankly, they're now underperforming. They could be in a slingshot position, meaning technically they're overdone in terms of underperformance. And they have outperformed gold from time to time, strongly. So, in fact, Newmont outperformed gold through 2021, exponentially outperformed gold. And then since 2021, it's retreated. Mm-hmm. So it's not necessarily the size of the miner, frankly. It depends on how does that miner look on a spread chart basis versus gold, versus the GDX. And we run those reports monthly. And frankly, you'll see some small miners in there that we say are outperformers and some biggies. Mm-hmm. I always monitor Newmont and Barrick because we want to be sure that, you know, we know big asset managers are going to move there at some point. And we want to be on top of that situation should those miners suddenly start to change their relative trend.
Yeah. So I have a theory about all that. It'll start with the biggies, the Newmonts and the Barricks of the world. And by the way, I'm an owner of Newmont. And then it'll trickle down, if you would, to, I don't know, mid-tier producers and then to the juniors. Is that a theory that you hold?
Yeah. There's probably going to be a phenomenon, maybe quarter or so from now, when it becomes bloody apparent to the big miners that the gold move is really not outpriced whatsoever. And therefore, they might come in and gobble up some of these explorers, you know, for example, which are vastly underperforming the market, and the smaller miners, so they get gobbled up. So, you know, might own a stock for 50 cents and suddenly it's $3, you know. So that could be a phenomenon, but I suspect that's slightly delayed to what we're talking about here. But it could be a phenomenon to later shift into. And we're watching that.
You're watching that now. So your services, again, and I'm a fan of, a huge fan of, and subscribe to. What you will cover, though, is you'll cover the shifting, if you would, between all of the different individual miners, so people want access to that.
Well, we'll focus on the ones that are outperforming or look like they're on the cusp of shifting to outperform. If they're vastly underperforming, they're not in our list. We just ignore them. Now, we may miss some. There's so many miners, we could easily miss, you know.
Yeah, there's a lot.
I just love them. But we're trying to produce a refined list. So if you really want to be picky and try to beat the gold mining category in general by picking out performers, then we try to assist in that regard. The only thing I'm doing personally is I'm picking silver miners that look good to me relative to this sector. And silver miners have lagged the gold miners, just like silver sort of lagged gold over the last couple of years. And I think they're about to resurrect themselves in a, you know, a strong way.
Yeah.
Yeah. And again, well, what was I going to say? Okay. Well, talk really briefly about the rollover again in the general stock market here. What are you looking for? Are we close to any kind of support here? Any kind of,
I think this, yeah, the next support is not here. I think the next support is about 10-12% below the lows we made a week or so ago. I'll give you, in fact, these are momentum-based levels where you are likely to get a bounce or some stability. That's not the end of the decline by any means, just a bounce point. It happens to correspond roughly with what the 2021 price high was in the NASDAQ 100, which is 16,500 level. We're trading in the 19,000s right now. And for the S&P, it was around 4,800. You know, we've been down, I think, to 5,100 or something. 5,500 recently. So it's another 10 or so percent slab below where we are now. We've just had like a 10 or 15% drop. Not a collapse. Took a month. Okay. You could get another one of those in the next phase. But I think we're in an ongoing bear trend. And if you look at history, they last 2-3 years. And by the way, when they're over, doesn't mean it's over. It doesn't mean, oh, I'm going to blast to new highs. No. For instance, the 2000.com high in the S&P, for example, it came back up to that same high in 2017, failed again. It was till 2013 the S&P ever really took out the nominal price high of 2000. And it took 16 years for the NASDAQ 100 to ever get back and take out the dot-com high. So if you didn't get out in 2000, as we argued then in January, and avoid that collapse, you spent half of an investment lifetime kissing your sister. In fact, in real dollar terms, it wasn't 13 years or 16 years to get back to the high. That's nominal. Dollar degradation every decade is like 90% increase in the money supply. So in reality, it took a lot longer than that to get back to the real dollar value of what we were in 2000. So the point being, we're entering a bear trend. I think NASDAQ 100 will lead. It led the upside. It will lead the downside. But I would also focus right now on the financial sector because of the debt problems out there.
I would agree with you. Michael, again, to all my listeners, I'm a client, a huge fan, very happy client. Michael, how do people find you if they're not aware with you and you really know, need no exit?
It's Oliver MSA for Momentum Structural Analysis. Visit the site, take your time. We discuss the method. It's quite unorthodox.
Yeah.
And we explain why. And you get plenty of samples of prior reports we've done over the last, God, since 1992. Okay. We cover all four major asset categories in our all asset category subscription. So we look at the bond markets, the equity markets, including foreign ones, commodities in general, and then gold and silver and the monetary metals, you know, also the dollar as well.
It is really, in currencies, it's really all inclusive. And that's what I love about it. And it's the relationships that you cover, between each sector specifically. Again, I go back to my comments or our discussion. I'm just going from memory. It was 6 to 7 months ago. I was really concerned about a meltdown in the stock market would hurt my miners, and it did the opposite. And you're like, idiot, it's not what the indicators say. You're going to see money flowing into the miners, and that's what happened. So thank you. My portfolio thanks you, my friend.
Thank you, Andy.
Yep. We'll have you on again real soon. Again, I always love our talks and conversation, and, we'll get this out to all of our viewers today.
Thank you, Andy.
Have a great day.
Have a good day.